A ruling by Samoa's Court of Appeal yesterday appears to have cleared the way for the Fa'atuatuailia Tua Samoa Watasi, or FAST party, to form a new government with a slim one-seat majority. The court turned down the legal challenge by a Human Rights Protection Party woman candidate who said she was wrongfully removed as a member of parliament. Ali'i Malemanu Alofa Tu'u'au had been appointed by the head of state on the recommendation of the electoral commissioner, effectively causing a stalemate of 26 each for the FAST and HRPP parties after independent Tuala Ponifasio chose to join the FAST party. The electoral commissioner said that the extraordinary appointment was to fulfill the 10% minimum of women. However, the move was criticized by the FAST party as unconstitutional and a desperate attempt by the caretaker prime minister to hold on to power. To talk to us about the Court of Appeal rulings, we have on the line live on our 531 PI Facebook feed, the electoral commissioner. Fai malo matu mua, Matthew Lemisio, talo falava ilawa fionga. Fai malo matu mua, and faftai te lava for making time to have a chat with us this morning.
Yeah, talo falava mayava, talo fatu ebe fafin fo anga siotato tumu na New Zealand. Thank you for inviting us to come on board and probably chat about the decision yesterday.
Yes. Before then, though, how have you been there on the ground, apart from people trolling you online? Have you been safe walking around Samoa?
You know, it's life is normal here, Mayaba. You know, the misinformation, the disinformation that we see online is just out of control, to say the least. But, you know, We get on with life as we usually do, and people get on with the daily business, and that's how it is on the ground.
Now, for yesterday's decisions from the Court of Appeal, what did you make of those?
You know what? It's a victory for the Constitution itself, and most importantly, it's a victory for our women. And it's an affirmation of our position right from the start that the minimum 10% requirement was not met after the final count. So in that regard, we're very pleased with that. It's like I said, we fought for that seat because our women deserve more voice in parliament, and that was confirmed yesterday. And so we're pretty happy with that. But the other part of the decision which we are looking at, I think it's fair to say that it requires statutory reforms, and that will be up to the politicians when the next parliament is called, and then this will be part of our reforms that we need to push through the next parliament, because the way we see it, we can already foresee some practicality issues on this, but that will have to be manifest through the process of legal reforms, and that will perfect that process, because as the court, even in the Supreme Court, there's a lack of that process being prescribed in a law. But I think we're going down to that prescriptive sort of approach, and so that it is what it is. But we're so happy that our women gets to have that extra seat in parliament.
I don't think anyone has an issue with the extra seat for women. I guess people have the issue with the timing of your decision to instigate that and to make that point. The timing seemed to coincide with Tuala Ponifasio deciding to go with FAST, and many people are saying, including the lawyer for FAST, that was instigated by the Prime Minister to make it a stalemate.
Yeah, that's the narrative that we've seen, especially driven by, you know, the other side. And we have no interest in that. We didn't, you know, if the woman with the highest percentage of votes was on the other side, it wouldn't make a difference with our decision. You know, our decision was to ensure that the minimum was the minimum requirement was met, and we made that decision. You know, those accusations about the Prime Minister involved and all that, you know, I can assure you, Mayaba, that he had nothing to do with it. You know, we picked up on the conversation on the Sunday. Remember, we had the final count on Friday. And if you saw the videos there, you know, it was straight after the count that we made that we finalized the tally. You know, the pressure, you know, it's easier to talk about it now that the pressure is calm, but the pressure that we were under at the time to get the results out was immense. So we took the results out. We took Saturday off. Then we had our prayer service on Sunday, where we had to come back in just to acknowledge the Lord's guidance through our work. And that's when the staff started conversing about this 10%. None of us carried the Constitution throughout the whole electoral process. That's when I came back and actually opened up the Constitution. And then and the official tally. This was on Sunday. We made it that we saw the issue on Sunday, and then we verified on Monday. Then we sought the second opinion on the same Monday. So if you know, the weekend was there. It was only 2 days. And besides, you know, in our argument before the courts when we did the submission, there's no once and once only policy for us to issue to declare results. We've done that 3 times this year. First was the writs of our election for the unopposed MPs. You know how Honorable Tula Ekwa, Honorable Fiamme, and Nelly Puli, they had their different, the separate writ of election for those three. Then we had the 48 from the election, and then when we picked up that that the minimum 10% wasn't met, so we prepared that writ and give it to the head of states with the advice on the declaration of that 10. So, you know, we can't control what people say, you know, the narrative, like I said, but we're very our conscience is very clear, and it has been affirmed by the decision yesterday. And so life goes on, we move on.
Yes, I guess the timing has also been questioned by the court, and their ruling is that your activation of Article 44 1.8 on the 20th of April was unconstitutional, and that the warrant of election issued by the head of state appointing the second respondent as member is void. So I guess that validates the points that Faster were making.
Well, there was no legal precedent at the time. You know, we activated this in 2016, okay? The same way we did here. So there was no legal challenge back then, and it wasn't, the Article 44 was never sanctioned to a legal consideration from the courts. So I think for us, the key issues was they asked whether the electoral commissioner has authority to activate 44. The court says, yes, it is the electoral commissioner. So that was one of the points that the electoral commissioner cannot activate 44. That's been cleared now. The 10% has been cleared, but it's just the timing. So the timing is, because you know what, even if we make a decision now, it will be the same number, same result. It's not that as if on the 16th of April, the 10% was achieved. Then the following week, it was a different number. No, even if we make the decision now, it will still be based on the same official results. The same official outcome will come through. You know, I mean, now that we have a legal precedent, if we hadn't triggered that, the court would never have the opportunity to outline a legal precedent so that in the future, now we know exactly how to activate this 44. And like I said, in the decision, this one here from yesterday, is actually saying, okay, maybe this is to improve or provide some clarity of this process, has to go through the process of legal reforms or law reforms.
Now moving forward, the question on everybody's mind, including mine, is where to from now? What is the current situation, given that FAST has 26 and HRPP has 5? What is the current situation moving forward?
Yeah, well, you know, from where we stand as an electoral management body, we've done our job. So it's now on to the other courts, like parliaments. We've gone through the courts. You know, it's up to the politicians now and the political leaders to resolve that. We were not part of that process. We've done our role.
Now, as part of the electoral petitions, there could be by-elections. Have by-elections happened in the past?
Yeah, we've had not the 2016 after the 2016 general election, because all the petitions from the 2016 elections were withdrawn. So there were no by elections as a result of the 2016 elections. But we did have by elections after the 2011 general election, and we also have some by elections last sitting of parliament. We had two, one in Nangaifu, number 3, and I think Fasan Leanga.
So as far as you're concerned, now there is a sixth woman that needs to be appointed to make up the 10%, the minimum of 10%. That could go either way. That woman could either come from FAST or from HRPP.
Yes,
with these electoral petitions that are now before the court.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, we've achieved the extra seat. So any woman, regardless of their political status, any woman will come through that. And that's, like I said from the start, that's a win for us, for women, and for what we fought for.
If there is a by-election, if there are by-elections, how do they work? Can you have new candidates standing in?
Yes.
Can a woman replace a man in FAST's constituency and try and get that woman to win that by-election?
Yeah, so if, say for example, the 28 petitions that we have before the courts now, if the courts find, you know, the respondent of these, because they have counter petitions as well. So if the court find these elected members guilty, then they will report it and that will void the election. And that means the speaker will call the by-elections and we proceed with that. We'll open up the nominations for new candidates. The candidates who were found guilty cannot run. Their names will be entered into the corrupt practices list. And then we go through the normal process of elections. But it's just a shorter periods of conducting the by-elections compared to the general election.
And you're not allowed to add any new voters onto it. Has to be...
No. Yes, it has to be the role from the general election.
And in terms of timing, given that some of them are going to be heard next week, how long do you see this playing out? If all 28 electoral petitions and counter petitions go through the court, how long is that likely to take?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I honestly have no idea, but it's going to take a while. And
weeks, months, you know,
could be months. Mind you that after the if we by elections, then we'll also have petitions out of those by elections, so it's probably going to prolong, and the uncertainty will continue on for some time. But you know, it's a period that unprecedented times where we have to go through, and you know, the only way to find our solutions for all of this is that we have to go through them. And like I said, like what's happening with Article 44, now we have some solution, legal solutions from the courts, and it provides some clarity and certainty amongst us who are in positions to administer these legal requirements.
When the government called for that second election that Friday, were you ready to hold those elections?
We're always ready, you know. Our team is always ready. even now, if they call another election, like a by-election today, we'll activate all the systems in place and we'll go on the field and collect those elections.
And in terms of those, will you still require the voters to go back to the constituents? Where will you conduct those by?
Yeah, the law as it stands now, you have to go back to your constituency until it's that part of the law is changed. Because we were under that principle of you vote where you reside. And so, but, you know, I think in the long term, we'll get to fully realize the spirit behind that that change. But in the meantime, you know, if we, like when they called that election, we said it would be unfair for the voters. You know, it wasn't their call that they had to go all the way back again. So there was a legal avenue there through the state of emergency that we have just to relax that part of the law, and we extend the constituencies to special booths that we were going to set up in town. So
now, finally, we are celebrating Samoa Language Week here. And like all Samoans, when major events happen, a proverb or a saying always comes to mind. For you, being through the experience that you have, what's a Samoan proverb that comes to your mind? And can you explain for our non-Samoan speakers what that proverb means?
Okay, the way I saw all this is that there's a Samoan saying, "Ele ilose tau tai te me malu waili tai," meaning, you know, you can be anybody when the sea is smooth. You can, you know, promise the world that you can do this and that and that. But when you're given a real situation like what we went through, what we are going through, you know, your being is being tested to the point of, you know, really right to the point where you say, can I've had enough of this? Or you just buckle under pressure. So during these rough times, you know, it really tested our leadership in our office. It tested our faith as a people. You know, whatever we're going through right now, I think, you know, it really tested us. But, you know, I'm amazed at the amount of information that's coming through social media. And us here on the ground just sitting and saying, what are they talking about? You know, we're just getting on with our lives. I was down there at one of the food stores just down the road from here to buy some oranges. We had this old lady walking up and hugged me and say, well done, you know. Thank you for standing up for this. And I was like, well, thank you. So, you know, when the seas are rough, that's when you call in the leaders. And the leaders who do not buckle under pressure, those are the ones you have to look up to. So yeah, that's my sharing for Samoa Language Week for Samoans in New Zealand. It's always good to chat with you, man. You know, big fan. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Whai Malo Matumua, Matthew Lemisio. Thank you for navigating those rough waters. And here is hoping that the seas will be calm in the near future for you. Thank you so much for your generosity, always being available to have a chat with us.
Thank you, Mayava, for staying.
You're listening to Early Edition with Ete. That was the Samoa Electoral Commissioner, Whai Malo Tumua, Matthew Lemisio, talking to us about the rough seas that we continue to navigate as a country, but as Whai Malo Matumua says, we have our leaders who are there at the stern, navigating us through, and with God's love and God's blessings, we as a country will come through this. You're listening to Early Edition with Ete, 5:31 p.m., bringing Pacific people together. Here is